Amen.
How many have purpose in their mind that they're going to be a worshiper? Amen. A worshiper doesn't worship or praise God based on any external events. Hallelujah. But I heard a songwriter say, count your blessings and name them
one by one.
Count your many blessings and see what God has done. So I worship you, Lord, because of who you are. Amen. Praise team, sang a song a little earlier. I know
who
I am. Anybody know you belong to God tonight?
Right. Hallelujah.
Come on, anybody know you belong to God tonight?
Hallelujah.
Anybody know that if it had not been for the Lord on your side?
Yes.
Lord, that's why I'm so happy. I'm so happy. I am so free. I bless the Lord tonight. Amen. We thank God for all of you that traveled last week. There's a whole lot of travelers. Amen. Traveling here, there, and everywhere. Maybe I was talking to somebody earlier. Man, we go on vacation to come back tired, though. That's not a good vacation. Amen. You have to come home to get rest when you're working. Amen. Nevertheless, God is good. Can we say praise the Lord? Amen. And just an update. We did meet with the Catholic Church on Monday. God has an appointed time.
Yes, an appointed time.
How many know God has
an appointed time?
An appointed time.
Said
that we ought to trust in the Lord with all of our
heart.
Come on, we ought to trust in the Lord with what?
All of our heart.
And to lean not unto our own
understand.
If we would acknowledge Him and God and direct our path. You know, when we first, not first, but as we were doing this, this church acquisition, you know, the scripture kept coming to me that the Lord said to Martha and to Mary, he said, said I not unto thee that if thou would, thou shalt see the what?
Glory of God.
Glory of God. Now, the key part of that was that the Lord said, I'm just going to wait for Lazarus to die. You know, sometimes we want God to move when we don't want to move. But God says, I'm going to do it in my time so that I will be glorified. Amen. So the Lord says, send out not unto thee that thou wilt believe. I said, Lord, I guess we're about to die. Amen. But the good thing about God is that He is the resurrection. Anybody know that God's the resurrection? God said, I am the resurrection. A subject that's probably affects every last one of us tonight. Anybody ever have some worry? Anybody have a little bit of anxiety?
Yes, sir.
Well, you don't have to say it, but we know it's true. Amen. So we're going to deal first of all with worry and anxiety, and then we're going to deal with trusting God. When everything else fails, then we know it's time to trust God. Now, I don't know if it was here. It might have been here. I heard a minister say, when everything else, like God is the last alternative? Amen? What do you mean when everything else failed? We're saved and we know who the Savior is. So we don't say when everything else failed, we say, Lord, not my will, but thy will. And God's coming on His own time. I told Minister Simon, I said, y'all gotta learn that song, He's an on-time God. Yes, anybody know that? He's an on-time God. Yes. And because He's on time, He may not come when you call Him. He may not come when you thought He should have been here, but He's an on-time God. Yes, He is. So we're dealing with worry, anxiety, trusting in God, and then in clothing. And we won't finish this tonight. Amen. We won't finish it tonight. In closing, we want to do good or do what's right in the eyes of God. So you can worry and have anxiety. That's just a part of life, and that's one of the chief tools and mechanisms that our adversary uses to try and distance us from God. See, listen, the devil can't conquer you as long as you're close to God. So he has to use circumstances and events to make you distance yourself from God. And the more you distance yourself from God, then the devil The more you distance yourself from God, the devil said, now this is my opportunity to fill that void where God was. So he has to use circumstances. And the number one thing that everybody does is worry. Is it going to happen? Is it going to happen? You know, we need to come to the resolve, Lord, you just do it when you get ready to do it.
Right.
Amen. So we're going to use someone that typifies of one that can best represent all three, and that's the sweet psalmist David. David had highs, David had low lows. David had some bad lows.
Yes.
Amen. David had some victories, and then he had some defeats. David was on a mountain high, then he was in the valley low. So David writes from a first-hand account of worry, trusting God, and doing what's good or right in his eyes. Amen. If you follow David's life, his legacy, he started off as a child and the Spirit of God was on him. Amen. But then he had to deal with some situations, some jealousies from the person that was in charge, because God was with him. When God is with you, the devil is not like that. So when God is with you, he uses people to try to break you down. When God is what? With you. Amen. The scripture says, the Lord or the Spirit of God came upon David when Saul, when Samuel anointed him to be king in the place of Saul. But Saul was still king. But God had an appointed time. Amen. And David did everything. The Bible said he behaved himself wisely in the presence of the king, but everything he did for good, some kind of way, Saul saw evil. Amen. David delivered, with the help of the Lord, Israel from the Philistine and from Goliath. And everybody was happy but King Saul. Because when they came back for the victory, they sang a song and said, Saul has slain his thousands, but David his
10,000.
Saul said, wait a minute. What do you mean? You know, this is when your mind is messed up. Here you are running and hiding and didn't want to fight. God uses a child, a young man, and you get all jealous. So the scripture says, from that point, Saul sought to slay David. Amen. Because of the spirit of jealousy. Amen. Thank God we don't have no jealousy. Ouch. The spirit of jealousy will make you want to slay a righteous person. So we're going to go to, let us stand, we're going to read a few verses in Psalms 37. Amen. You know, a lot of times when I'm studying the Word of God and trying to make preparations, sometimes you just have to turn the mind off. Because scripture just flow. And we're not like they're over in China and down in the cave and in Africa. We can't have church for 8 hours. Yeah. Now y'all gonna say anything? Well, we can have it for 8 hours, amen. We can't have church for 8 hours, so we have to limit what we're going to do, amen. So our scripture reading. Now, our actual Bible study is going to be the whole 37th division of Psalms. Because, once again, it is David's testimony. And David wrote this song in his old age. So he experienced all of this. So he's not writing from a second-hand account, but he's writing from a first-hand account of God. Amen? So we're going to read from verse 1, and then we'll conclude by reading verse 7. For this time, so that you all can sit down. But then our entire study is going to be the whole division of 37th division of Psalm. This psalm covers everything. You know, as I read it, I don't know how many times I read it over and over again. The psalm covers every aspect of spiritual living and natural living. Amen. So the first verse read, fret not thyself because of thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in who? And do good, so shall I dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in
the Lord.
Let me rest in that tonight. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Rest in who?
In the Lord.
And then do what? Wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. And the church said,
the Lord
is blessed, and you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. So truly we thank God. Amen. Thank God again for blessing my wife. She's getting better.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. I made a one of our health remedies up, but she ain't taking it like she ought to. Amen. But she's getting better. She don't like taking it because she said it makes you smell like garlic. I take it every day. I said, I'd rather be smelling bad and healthy than smelling good and sick.
Amen. Right. Amen.
So I take it. Amen. We bless the Lord. She's been running back and forth with her father and with her father and his wife, so I ain't gonna mess with her tonight. I messed with her all day yesterday. But we bless the Lord. She's been running back and forth trying to get all of the affairs in order, so we just thank God for that. Amen. But to get back to the word, maybe I might sneak it out before the service is over. They don't like this. They don't like this saying too much. Amen. So, yeah. I'll be good for time being. If I don't get enough amens, I'm going to strike it out there. Y'all going to give me some
amen.
Amen. But once again, we're going to deal with David. And David writes this psalm in his old age. So it's a first-hand account of what he went through. And the first verse read, fret not thyself because of evil. The word fret means to worry, to have anxiety. It means to look at those that seem to be prospering in their wrong. So David said, now, I can remember the time when God made me a promise. But I spent, you know who knows how long it took David approximately to become king? Ministers, elders. Well, how old was he when God made him a promise? He was a what?
17.
Teenager. So you don't become a teenager until you get what? 14, right? All right. But David typified Christ
7
in his order. But he really was about 16 or 17 when he was made the promise. But David typified Christ, or was a type of Christ. Christ became the Messiah or the priest at what? What age?
33.
So between 16 and 30 is how many years?
14.
Approximately
14.
Now when God makes us a promise, if it don't happen in like a year or two, amen. We're going to say something's wrong, right? But it took David. Because when God makes you a promise, he also has a period of preparation. Amen. When God makes you a promise. Joseph also typified Christ. And that when he was a teenager, when he was taken into captivity, or sold into bondage, and then he was how old when he appeared before Pharaoh and became second in charge? 30. So God has preparation. He has a period of time that he has to prepare us. Amen. God doesn't have a microwave positions where we can just turn it on and be there in a hurry. But God takes time to prepare us. Amen. So when we get in that position, we have a greater appreciation for what God has done. So David watches, or David behaves himself wise, as the scripture says. And he said, now, don't have a lot of worry and anxiety, because those who are prospering, and they are ungodly. Now, I know a lot of people are super spiritual, right? And when you're super spiritual, when you see somebody ungodly prospering, they're going to bother you. Well, I ain't super spiritual. I'll tell you like this. I'm like David. When I see the evil people prospering, sometimes you just have to ask, what am I doing? Doing wrong, right? That's when you ain't super spiritual. When you're super spiritual, don't nothing bother you until you're by yourself. Amen. Then when you're by yourself, the real you comes out. Amen. But David watches Saul apparently prospering, and he was wrong. Amen. Now, this is something that God used David. When the evil spirit came upon Saul to play on his harp, and the Bible says, as David played, the evil spirit would do what?
Depart.
But David has the promise. But he didn't have the position. David had the promise, but he did not have the position, because God knew that he was not ready for it yet. And at the same time, God was using his circumstances to be a teaching tool for David. So David has the Spirit of God, and he plays the evil spirit out of Saul, but then every time he turned around, he had to try to escape for his life. Because Saul was trying to, that doesn't even make sense. So he said, now don't you fret yourself. Don't you get worried about the evildoers. Amen. And neither be thou envious at the other what? Wicked. And like I said, I know a lot of us are super spiritual, so when stuff don't bother us. Amen. When you say, Lord, I pray, I fast, I pay my tithes, and I do my best, and look at my neighbor. Hallelujah. Did not Jesus say a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he has? Amen. So he said that I don't want you as a church, don't get caught up fretting about what the evil are doing. Now let us go to Psalm 73. We're going to read a couple of verses in Psalm 73. Amen. Because this is not David, this is Psalmist Asaph, who actually was the choir director under David, Solomon, and Rehoboam. So he saw Israel at the highest spiritual high. Then he saw them spiritually decay to their spiritual low. Amen. And he says, verse 1, truly, God is good to what?
Israel.
To Israel, and such as be of a... Do we have a clean heart tonight? Then God is good to you. But don't fret yourself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious at the prosperity of the wicked. Amen. Verse 2 said, but as for
me.
But as for me. Amen. He's telling you, I had a struggle. I don't care how holy you live. The devil tempts you. When you see everybody else doing wrong and seem like they're being blessed, and you are doing your best and don't have nothing. But don't be envious at the prosperity of the wicked. He said, but as for me, my feet were what? Almost gone. My step had well nigh Well, what happened? The call says, I took my eyes off of
the Lord.
Lord, don't take your eyes off of Jesus. When he took his eyes off of Jesus, amen, and he began to look at everything that was around him, he says in verse 3, 1, 5, don't get caught up in that. Don't worry about that. Amen. God knows what he has to do. And when you drop down a little further in the same psalm, Asaph came to the conclusion. He said, Lord, whom am I in heaven? Whom am I in heaven? You know, all these riches and possessions on this earth does not matter. He said, whom am I in heaven with thee? There's none that I desire on earth. He got his focus back. Tonight, as a church, we need to get our focus back. We're looking at relationships if we don't have one, and we become envious. Amen. We're looking at those that seem to prosper in the way, and we seem like all we do is struggle, and we become envious. The most important thing that any of us have tonight is Jesus.
Right.
And that's why he said, who have I in heaven? You know, can't nobody else be in heaven but God.
Right.
And there's nobody on earth I desire besides God, besides thee. Tonight I would wonder, ask us to consider for in this one moment, what is your greatest desire? What is your greatest desire? Amen. David in the 27th Psalm said, one thing am I
desire.
Come on, one thing am I desiring of the, and that will I. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I. That I may dwell in the house all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to what? That's the one thing. And as we went over on Sunday, and when the Lord was speaking to Martha about Mary, he said, there is one thing. How many?
One thing.
There's one thing that is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part which will never be taken away from her. That is God's word. The most important thing in any of our lives tonight is the word of God.
Right. Hallelujah.
If Jesus said it's good and it will never, the good part that will never be taken away, then you know what the devil knows? As long as you're in the word, he can't have any influence over you.
That's right.
So on a daily basis, he gets us to neglect the word because that gives him a foothold in our lives. Yes. Amen. In the book of Joshua, Joshua, the Lord tells Joshua, can we go to Joshua chapter 1 for one quick second? We'll come back to this. Amen. Like I said, this is going to be a long series because we want to deal with getting it right with God. Anybody want to be right with God?
Amen.
The one good thing which will never be taken away from her. Amen. So Joshua chapter 1, and let us go to the verse. This is what the Lord tells Joshua to do in order to have good success. Let's start in verse 5 of Joshua chapter 1. Amen. I'll pay attention to the clock so I don't go overtime. We said 8 hours. Right? I know that'll be everyone. We're going to go 8 hours. But tonight, God's word is the most important thing in the end of our lives.
Amen.
Everything else can be taken away from you. But Jesus said, the one good part that shall never be taken from you is the word of God. Verse 5 reads, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee
all the days of thy life.
All the days of thy life. As I was with
Moses,
so will I be with thee. I will not
fail thee,
nor
forsake thee.
I like that.
Yes, amen.
Be with me, God. Amen. He said, only be thou strong enough which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only, he repeats it again. Only means that what?
I want to make to like how many of us are strong.
Not strong in yourself, but Paul said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of
his might.
The problem with the church is we like to depend on our own might too much and not on God. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And to be strong and very courageous. Then thou mayest observe to do according to some of the law.
Oh.
Just a few things.
Oh.
Just a part of the law that you like.
Oh.
He said, no, if you want to do, listen, in order for you to honor all God's word, you have to be strong. A weak saint can't honor all of God's word. Amen. He said, be strong. And then in the midst of you being strong, you have to be courageous because someone's going to challenge you.
Hallelujah.
Concerning God's word.
Yes.
So you have to have the courage to be strong when they try to break you down. Amen. He said, to do all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the what?
Right hand.
Or to the left, that thou mayest
prosper.
Whither?
Wherever thou goest.
God's word is so bad. God's word is so important. That he said, you know what? Just stay in the center. Don't get too far to the right. Don't get too far to the left. But just stay in the center of God's word. Because as long as you're in the center of God's word, you're in the center of God's will.
Right.
But when you start deviating one way or the other, amen, you're not going to be prosperous in all the way whether thou goest. Amen. The next verse reads, this book, what's the book?
The law.
This book.
The law.
There's a whole lot of other books, but there's only one important book.
This
book. The most important book in our life is this book. Not that book.
This
book. Not that magazine.
This book.
Not that fiction story.
This book.
Not that science fiction.
Right. This
book. But what book? This book.
The
glory to God.
Hallelujah.
This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein.
Day and night.
How often?
Day and night.
You know, he said, it has to be a continual thing, God's word. I'm not going to be nosy, but I wonder how many days on end and months and weeks we go through life and neglect the Word of God. How many days, how many hours, how many weeks do we neglect the Word of God? So he says, it shall not, but thou shalt what? First, it shall not depart out of thy mouth. You know, we talk about a whole lot of things. But if we're going to talk about the Word of God, it should not depart out of our mouth. The book of Malachi said, they that feared the Lord spake often what?
To another.
What were they speaking about?
Word.
God's Word. They were speaking about God's Word. They spake not sometimes, but how? Often. Amen. I'm not trying to bring no indictment against anybody or anything, but it's just something for us to consider. How often? Can somebody say often?
Often.
Y'all can get quiet, but I'm about to call out a name to call it. Okay. But y'all, I said the agreement is y'all got to stay with me.
Right. We're with you. Hallelujah.
Yes. But we should do it how?
Often.
Amen. They speak of the Lord often one to another, and the Lord hearkened or heard them, and a book of
remembrance.
There's nothing like the Word of God. Thy word have I hid in
heart
that I might not
sin against thee.
Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a
light to my path.
We're talking about what?
Thy word.
Thy word is this book of the law. It should not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate on it day and night. Hallelujah. Anybody want to be blessed? Hallelujah. Anybody want God to intervene in their situation? Then we benefit on this all day and night. We shall be like a tree. And you know what's good about the tree is planted.
Plant.
I wonder tonight how many of us are planted.
I wonder
how many. Amen. The scripture said at the end of that, he said, whatsoever they doeth shall prosper. Amen. That thou mayest have heard and do according to all that is written. For then shall thou make thy way
prosper.
And thou should have
good success.
Notice the adjective. He didn't say you're going to just have success. Not as any kind of success. But when your mind is stayed on God,
yes.
And he's in your mouth, his word is in your mouth and in your heart, you're going to have good success. If you can have good success, that means you have ordinary success. But with God, we should have what kind of success?
Good success.
Let's go back to Psalm 37.
Hallelujah.
I got a few minutes left. Psalm 37, verse 2. So, once again, David said, now I know what I went through. I looked around too much. Look at somebody and tell them you're looking around too much. Come on, look at somebody and tell them you're just looking around way too much. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on his word. Amen. Stop looking at everything else and just stay focused on. Because the moment you look around, you leave room for the adversary to influence you. But if you stay planted in the word of God, no matter what happens, you'll stand. Amen. He said, now, those that you keep looking at, and those that you're envious at, not you all, you know what, how some people want to have a Mercedes like they got. Want to have, I don't know no designers, so I can't tell you no designers clothes. You know, I just got to say, y'all know the designers, I don't know any of them. All right? Because when I go buy clothes, I just buy clothes. I don't buy no name.
That's right.
I don't buy clothes, that's right. My wife buys clothes. But if you got a name label, I cut them out. I don't know the designers, amen. But you don't have to have what everybody else has.
Right.
Just thank God for what you got. Every once in a while I watch the program on TV and I see all those children starving. Don't have food to eat and everything. I feel bad for the clothes I do have. As a matter of fact, my wife tried to buy me some clothes. I said, please don't buy me another thing. You know why? It's not because I don't want them, but I feel guilty. This is me. Now this ain't you. Buy what you want, drive what you want, live where you want to live. But I feel guilty. Matter of fact, the other day, there was a program on TV. I said, Lord, I ought to take that money from the church and send it over there and let them have all of it. But then I have to answer to the board.
All right now.
I'm just telling you the truth.
All right.
I'm like, man, I feel, look at all these starving, suffering kids. I said, you know what? I just send the money over there and go to Georgia. But I said, you know, that would be the best business. I gotta do the right thing, you know? But
I'm praying for you.
Me personally, I feel bad trying to get anything else. When I see how many people are suffering and don't have. You know, so don't look around at other people. You know what? Thank God for what you have. Paul said, godliness with what?
Contentment
is. Godliness with contentment is great. He said, you brought nothing into this
world,
and it is for certain that you will carry nothing.
Nothing out.
Having food and. Anybody's been starving, if you ain't been starving, everybody can look like y'all dressed all right. Then you want to be what? Content. But the devil will use other people to make you envious and desirous and murmur and complain against God. Amen. Let's go to verse 2. It says, for they shall surely be cut down like the grass and wither as
greener.
the green herb. He said that the only way, look at somebody and say the only way. Come on, the only way that you won't have that kind of spirit is that you have to what? Trust in
Lord.
And what? Trust in the Lord and do
good.
So shall thou dwell in the and verily thou shalt be fed. Now when you look at that, you think, oh man, I want to eat good, right? If I just trust in the Lord and do good, I'm going to be having a whole lot of good food. Right? But that ain't what it means. That ain't what it means. It means that if you trust in the Lord and do good, you will feed on God's faithfulness. If you trust in the Lord and do good, you will feed on God's truthfulness. That's what it really means. You know, we like to bring it down to like, I want to have that steak, that prime rib. No, that's not what God said means. If you trust in the Lord and do good, verily you're going to dwell in the land and you're going to feed on God's faithfulness. Amen. Because food and all the other things are going to pass away, but God's faithfulness, God's truthfulness, endure it for forever. Amen. So delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the... Now, this is not an open-ended desire. He's talking about trusting in the Lord and doing good. Amen. And feeding on God's faithfulness. So when you trust in the Lord, you do good, you feed on his faithfulness, then you have what kind of desire? The right desires. So then the right desire is, I want to just delight myself in the Lord, and then he'll give me the desires of my... Anybody want God to do something for you spiritually? Anybody want God to make a way for you so you can bless somebody else spiritually? Then delight yourself in the Lord. Trust in the Lord and do... You got to do what's right in his eyes, amen? He said, and then when you get it all together, when you delight yourself in the Lord, then commit thy way unto the Lord. Somebody said, my way is committed. You know what that means? It means this. Whatever the problem is, whatever the situation is, don't worry about it, don't fret. Just roll them to God. In other words, give them to God. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Amen. And I give you rest. He said, take my yoke and learn of me, because I am meek and... You know, everyone likes to get rest and all that. But he said, no, no. Before you get the rest, you got to learn of who? Of me. Because I am meek and lowly. Then when you learn to do it right, you'll find rest. Yeah, we like to butcher those scriptures to our advantage, right? And I can just do this and find rest. He said, because my yoke is easy. And my burden is, but you got to learn of me. Amen. So you commit thy way unto the Lord, but you have to also... So a lot of us are giving God our problems, but we don't trust him. Somebody said, ouch. I know you said ouch, because you didn't say amen. If you did, you said it in your heart. Amen. So a lot of us were giving it to God, but we are not trusting. We're giving it to God, but we're not trusting. And because we give it to God, no trust is not coming to pass. So whatever the situation, whatever the test, whatever the trial, give it to him. Then you know what? Say, you know what, God, I gave it to you. Now I trust that you're going to work it out. So since I gave it to you and I trust that you're going to work it out, I'm going to leave it alone. Amen? He said, then the Lord will bring in... A lot of us have given God some situations, some tests, some trials, some circumstances, but we picked it back up the next day. Some of us picked it up the next hour. Because we did not... Is it trust what? Also. Trust what? Also in the Lord. And who's going to bring it to pass? If he's going to bring it to pass, why do we keep messing with it? We got to let God do it whose way? His way. So if you're going to commit that unto God, give it to him. It means where the ball is, something rolls. Amen. Just when you start something rolling, do you have to put a lot of energy behind it? It just rolls usually until it either runs into a gravitational pull that slows it down or runs into a wall. God said, you know that problem? I want you to roll it to me. And the only thing that's going to stop that problem that you're rolling to me is when I pick it up. Then when I pick it up, I need you to trust. Also, and then when you trust and you do it my way, you say, you know what? I'm going to bring it. But the reason it's not coming to pass is you don't trust God. Trust in the Lord and do good. You got to trust him. Amen? And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as
light.
It'd be, in other words, the judge of earth will do what he is right. Justice sure. How many know every day you wake up, there is what? Light. God said, your righteousness is going to come forth just as much as there is light. And your judgment, that's what?
Noonday.
The noonday. Every day there is morning, there's afternoon, and there is night. God said, just as sure as you can trust in the laws of nature, when you do it my way, you can trust in me. Amen? All right, a couple minutes. Now this is really the challenge. This is the real challenge. It says what? Rest in the Lord. You know what rest in the Lord means? Just be still. Be quiet. Because God has it. Rest in the Lord and wait. Rest and move. And wait patiently for who?
The Lord.
That means, you know what? Stop all telling everybody about your problems. It really means to be quiet. Rest in the Lord, it really means just be quiet. You don't have to keep telling everybody about your problems and everything. Just be quiet. Rest in the Lord and wait
patiently.
What kind of wait for him? A lot of us are waiting, but boy, we don't have no patience. It is in fact not thyself because of him that what?
Prospers
in his way. Because of him that bringeth what kind of devices?
Wicked.
I like this song so much. I learned like the first 12 verses. I said, yeah, I just commit that to memory. You know what? Because that'll help me out. Amen. But let's be close and let's turn. We're going to. We're ending on verse 7, but we'll come back to this. Let's go to Psalm 39. He says that we ought to what in the Lord? Rest. Anybody resting in something other than God? Anybody resting in anything other than God? Anybody doesn't have or wait patiently for him to bring it to pass? We need to rest. That means to be quiet. Amen. You don't have to keep telling everybody about all the problems. How many knows that God knows everything?
Yes, sir. Amen.
Read the whole Psalms 139. He said, I have searched thee and I have. Because I know. Why do we keep telling everybody else? Because our eyes are not in the right place. And we have not committed enough to God. And we don't trust him. So God can't bring it to pass. So since we don't trust that God can do it, we're called to tell everybody else. And God said, well, I just wait till you wait. Till you learn to wait on the Lord. Amen. All right. Irene, Patty, and Paul Adam, I can do this. Yeah, I figured y'all to prick y'all up a little bit. Amen. Let's go to the real thing. Come on, let's finish. My wife always says I act up. I don't know where she get that from. Do I act up?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I had to act up. Y'all heard the person in all that act up. Y'all think I'm too serious. Amen. Verse 39, Psalm 39, verse 1 said, now we're what in the Lord? Resting. That means we're being what? Quiet. But there's a way that you can be quiet the right way, and there's a way that you can be quiet. Wrong. You can rest in the Lord But your resting and being quiet can be one of two ways. What verse 1 reads, I will take heed to my ways that I sin. So I'm resting, I'm shut up, I'm not going to say a word. Amen. And you know, sometimes you just want to come out. You know, you say, I said I wasn't going to tell nobody. But this ain't a good testimony, but you could keep it to yourself. You know why? Because it's in you. And the focus is off. When the focus is off, a whole lot of stuff come out. Amen? He said, I will not sin with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a...
Right.
While the wicked is before me. He said, I was dumb.
Silent.
But you're not supposed to be dumb or silent. You know what? I'm trusting that God's going to work it out. Amen. But if I see my brother sin a sin unto death, I'm going to correct him. Because that's not the kind of silence God is talking about. Our biggest problem in church is this. We want everybody to be silent even when we're wrong. Amen. But I heard Isaiah say, cry loud and
fear not.
Cry out and show my people their transgression in the house of Jacob there. We're not supposed to be quiet when somebody is wrong. But it didn't bother me. It wasn't my problem. Amen. I like the way a minister brought it out a long time ago. I believe when the sons of Jacob had to go back to get feed from Egypt, he said, how can I go to my father? And my brother not be with me. How am I going to go back to my father? And one of my brothers is in captivity in Pharaoh's house. He said, how can I go to my father and my brother not be with me? It's our responsibility to watch one for another. We can't be an old what's his name that said, Cain, that said, am I my brother's keeper? Yes, we are our brother's keepers. Not to the point of being nosy, but when we see them do something wrong, don't be silent. That is what kind of silence? Dumb with silence. But when you see them do something wrong, say something. And we'll get down to this a little further. He said, I have my peace, even dumb silence. Won't even let you do what is right. What kind of silence?
Dumb.
Dumb silence. you can think, when you see somebody doing something, you don't say nothing. No, you see somebody don't say something, you are dumb silent. No, don't say that, just think it. All right, I'll almost finish, okay? Even for good, and my sorrow was stirred in me. He said, my heart was hot within me while I was musing the fire. Then spake I with my tongue, Lord, Lord, I'm so tired of doing it my way. Anybody tired of doing it my way? He said, Lord, made me to know my end and the measure of that I may know how frail that I am. Amen. One couple more verses, then we'll stop. Say, behold, thou hast made my days as a... The psalmist David, he said, you know what? When I look at my life, it's no bigger than that. The width of my hand. That's what the hand breath means. You know how long your life is? Look across your hand. That's how long your life is. He said, my life is so frail. It's nothing more than a hand breath. He said, and my age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man in his besting is altogether vanity, Selah. You know what that, I'm going to close right here. I'm not going to go any further. That vanity means that the life is nothing more than a breath or a
vapor.
That means when I consider the life is nothing more than a breath or a vapor. James said, what is our life? It's nothing more than a what? A vapor. It appears for a little while and then it. So tonight, we don't want to worry. We want to trust God and do good. Amen. Because our life is nothing more than a vapor. You don't have as much time as you think. If we live to be 100 years old in the sight of God, that is nothing. Because God is from eternity to eternity. Tonight, the challenge for the body of Christ is to trust in the Lord and do good as we all stand. The elders, the ministers, and all the workers come forward. We want to trust in the Lord and do what? Good. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, and neither be thy envious at the prosperity of the wicked. Your life is only a little, you're only here for a little while. Amen. If you were to expire a year from now and you look back, amen, we get calls every day from people that's on hospice and people that are near the end of their journey. Tonight, as we look back, as we reflect over our lives, as we all stand, as we look back and reflect over our lives, can we say that the Lord will look at us and say, well with our soul? Amen. Tonight, whatever it takes. Lord, I don't care about rubies, houses, and land. I just want to be right in your sight. Lord, whatever you have to do, I want the word of God to find a lodging place. You know what something lodges, I mean, it stays there. It doesn't just pass through. Tonight our request to God should be, let the word of God find a lodging place. Let it live there in my heart so that I will not sin against the elegant.